You know the drill. You land in a new country, you pull up the top 10 list, and you just spend the week racing around for a selfie.
Right. Yeah, the whole checklist approach. Yeah. You come home exhausted, and honestly, you haven't really seen anything.
Exactly. So today we're doing a deep dive into shredding that checklist. We're looking at a mental framework for traveling through Vietnam and Cambodia based on writings by Gene Taylor.
And his whole thesis is that authenticity isn't some, you know, hidden temple on a map. It's a mindset shift.
From spectator to participant.
Right. The mission here isn't packing your suitcase, but helping you arrive mentally before your feet even touch the ground.
Which is huge because, honestly, looking at Vietnam, those unscheduled moments sound terrifying when you see their traffic.
Oh, yeah. It looks like total chaos to an American brain.
Just a wall of scooters.
But Taylor reframes it. He says it's continuous negotiation.
Not rigid rules like we have.
Right. We rely on stop signs and right-of-way. Over there, it's about shared awareness, a society built entirely on proximity.
So if you just stand there waiting for a polite opening, you'll be stuck on the curb forever.
You really will. You just step out and enter the rhythm. The traffic flows around you like water around a stone.
Does that flow apply to time, too? Because in the U.S., grabbing my morning coffee is a pit stop. Mm. It's totally transactional.
You pay, get caffeine, and leave.
Yeah, but I'm guessing it's not just a slower version of that over there.
Completely different. A cafe is about belonging. A single drink can last 90 minutes.
Wow.
And if you sit long enough, you stop being a customer. You become part of the furniture.
But there's a paradox in Taylor's writing I want to bring up. He talks about this elastic time where being late is totally fine. But then he says memory is precise.
It comes down to values. Being late is forgiven because, well, life happens.
That's the elastic part.
Yes. But they rarely forgive a bad tone of voice or causing public embarrassment.
So you can be late, but you cannot be rude.
Precisely. And that precision really matters with history. Taylor highlights a specific linguistic landmine tourists step on constantly.
Right. And we should note for you listening, we're strictly reporting the source material here, not taking any political sides.
Exactly. Most Americans grew up hearing the term Viet Cong. But Taylor flags that term as loaded, outdated, and offensive to locals.
Because it was a label used by adversaries.
Right. The source advises using National Liberation Front or Revolutionary Soldiers if you want to show respect.
It feels like walking on eggshells.
It does. But the twist is that for many younger Vietnamese, the American War is just history. It's not their identity. They are incredibly pragmatic.
Focused on the future.
Highly focused.
Okay, let's shift over to Cambodia. The energy changes completely. Vietnam is kinetic, but Cambodia feels so much quieter.
Inward is the word Taylor uses. They value composure over expression.
Which gives them a pretty fascinating view of us Americans.
Yeah, they see us as unsettled.
Unsettled. That hurts, but I kind of get it.
We're always moving, always explaining, trying to fix things that aren't broken.
Frantic energy, basically.
The culture valuing stillness, yes.
Yeah, and the history adds so much weight to that interaction. Taylor talks about this concept of complex gratitude.
It's a duality. You represent the country that dropped the bombs, but also the one that cleared the mines and built schools later.
So you represent the harm and the help simultaneously?
Exactly. The unspoken feeling is, you harmed, you helped, we survived both.
That requires a lot of humility to just sit with.
It does, which leads perfectly into his philosophy of attention. Taylor separates taking photos from being present.
Right. He says, photographs help us remember where we were. Attention helps us remember who we were while we were there.
Taking a picture of pho for Instagram versus sitting and realizing the owner is watching to see if you like the broth.
One is an object, the other is a relationship.
And that shifts your whole definition of a good day. In the US, it's about achievement.
What did I get done today?
Right, but locally, a good day is stability, shared meals, family continuity.
It redefines what enough actually looks like.
Gene Taylor leaves us with that question. How do you define a good day? Not on vacation, but just a standard day. Does it rely on performance or simply enough?
I love that. And I'll leave you with one more thing to mull over as you go about your week. Take a look at your own morning commute or your next trip to the grocery store. Are you acting like a spectator in your own hometown, or are you paying enough attention to actually be a participant in your own neighborhood? Think about it. Catch you on the next deep dive.